Hey, it's Monday night.
Yes, it is.
And it's a hot one here in Southern California.
Hot.
Hot, hot.
Damn hot.
You got it?
Hot,
hot, hot.
Real hot.
Yeah, and we have a hot show tonight because we have lots of tech stuff to talk about. We got questions and stuff that people need to know about. Plus, we have an interview with our good friends, J. Michael Collins and his engineer, A.J. McKay. Yeah, which is a story in itself. How that came about. We'd love you to have you toss your home voiceover studio questions right here because we got a little extra time tonight. So send them in and we'll answer those questions for you tonight on Voiceover Body Shop, coming right up.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, to bring you all the latest technology, today's voiceover superstars, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is Voiceover Body Shop.
Voiceover Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, remote connections made even easier. VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist. J. Michael Collins Demos, award-winning demo production. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your voiceover website won't be a pain in the butt. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.
Yay.
All right. Well, it is hot and sticky here in Southern California.
Yeah.
It is. It was 103 at showtime.
Yeah.
So
it was Woodland. My temperature hit 109 on the way here through Woodland Hills.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
So it's another hot week.
It's going to be hot all week, except I don't get to be here all week. I have to go to Philadelphia, where it's only going to be about 95 and 80% humidity.
And really humid. That's going to be like the weather we just had. I was in Nashville last week.
Yeah.
Where I saw several people.
Yeah.
Man, that is oppressive. It feels like you're wearing a cement suit everywhere you go.
I know. I've been in this dry climate for the last 3 years.
Oh, man, we're spoiled.
I can't imagine what it's going to be like.
If it goes above 50% humidity, we start getting really whiny around here.
Yeah, and it's been pretty sticky. Anyway, tonight on this very program, we are going to talk about all sorts of home studio stuff. We've got a lot of great questions. Have a taped interview. Well, not tape. It's literally on an SD card.
SD carded.
Yes. Interview with our good friends, J. Michael Collins, and his engineer for their demo production, A.J. McKay. And they talk about their process and, about how they started that business and how you go about getting a demo and why you should and how to use it and all that kind of cool stuff. Mm. So that's very interesting. Well, John Florian is on vacation again this week.
Good for John.
Guy works hard.
He's been around this business a while.
So we don't have any news this week. So we're just going to take some time and, for the first couple of segments here, talk about some more home voiceover studio tech. So why don't we start off with what you wanted to talk about?
All right. Well, let's take a look here at the notes.
Oh, okay. You might be glad that you're prepared for that.
Following along here. One thing that came up, I try to always think of things, we always try to think of topics that have, been topical or timely. Things that we've
Topics should be topical.
Yeah, something we've run into recently. And one of those things is saving files and recording files in the right format.
Save as?
Yes. Well, a lot of you folks, maybe this is part of your routine. when you start a new recording is, and it depends on the style of software that you're using.
Right.
And this is where non-destructive versus destructive recording softwares have a very, very big difference.
Absolutely.
So I'll start with talking about non-destructive. That's Pro Tools, Reaper, things like that. They're non-destructive because when you hit record and when you stop, no matter what you save the project as, what format you save it as, it doesn't matter. That file is written and saved as a WAV file on the hard drive the second you hit stop,
right.
Period. It's there until you go in there and delete it.
Or play with it.
Or play with it, right.
Right.
But it's the that's the thing with non-destructive, with Reaper and with Pro Tools, you're never actually manipulating the original WAV file that was recorded. It's completely separate from whatever you're doing. The advantage of that is if you have a destructive editing recording program like Twisted Wave, Audacity, although Audacity sort of has a file format that it can save.
Yeah, I mean, it'll go into a new track every time. Right.
Well, yeah, the AUP thing.
Right. And in Twisted Wave, if you hit record, it doesn't really take out what you've recorded. It just pushes it aside.
Right.
But
if you save that project as a different file format because your client wants something weird, like 8-bit, 8 kilohertz MuLAW, for example, well, guess what? Next time you hit record in softwares like SoundForge, Twisted Wave, it thinks, it may think, that that's the format you want to record in. Now, in many cases, that's not true. It's going to default back to the last format you recorded in. As long as you pay really close attention when you hit record to what format you're recording in, you should be fine. But what you may run into is if you last saved a project in, say, 8-bit, 8 kilohertz WAV format, the next time you do save as, it's probably going to default to those settings. And at that point, if you didn't catch your error, you could have recorded sometimes more than an hour's worth of audio to the wrong format. And now here's something I don't know about SoundForge. I know this about Twisted Wave. In Twisted Wave, let's say you save it as an MP3 when you're done,
mm-hmm.
and you're going, ah, dang it. I wanted to make a WAV, right?
Right.
And you're thinking, oh, I've already screwed up the file. The damage is done. Mm-hmm. Well, in Twisted Wave, it still has the WAV file sort of in temporary buffer memory.
Right.
So you can actually save to MP3, then go back into the file again, just, you know, after you've saved it.
Right.
Do another save as, and you can redeem yourself
there's WAV. There's export in Twisted Wave, too.
There is. There's also the ability to export a file. In my experimentation, I found out that if you export a file into a format,
right.
the next time you do save as, that same preference is also duplicated, unfortunately. I had thought maybe it would be really nice if the export thing had its own preference. So if you export to MP3, but you want to save as WAV, the two wouldn't get in the way of each other. But alas, that is not how it works, at least not in Twisted Wave. But just be very careful. And if you do save a file to the wrong format, don't always necessarily panic. You can, if you haven't actually closed the program out or closed the file out, but you've only saved it, you may be able to save it again to the correct format. It just depends on the way that particular software works.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to just be very careful about what sample rate and bit rate you're saving to. Most of the time, that's going to be 16-bit, 44.1 kilohertz, or 48,
right?
Or 24. I actually have been really recommending recording and storing in 24-bit nowadays.
I have been too.
Just about everybody's interface supports 24-bit now. And, you know, file sizes are, what, roughly 50% larger?
Yeah, 50% larger of a small file to start with.
Hard drive space is cheap. It's worth it. If something down the road says everything's 24-bit now, you've got it staved. And it preserves more resolution. It's not a bad thing. Just be very careful what you're recording in and saving as. It's just, it can get you in a lot of trouble. And check your playback. As soon as you're done recording, check playback. And when you save a file, play back that saved file before you close out. So you have that last chance to check and see what you've done. Check your work. So just a little PSA for you folks.
PSA?
Yeah.
A public service announcement?
It's sort of a tech PSA.
Okay. Good warning on that one. What else we got?
So that's that. Plume.
Plume.
Have you heard of Plume?
I've seen plumes, but what is Plume?
If you're looking at expanding your Wi-Fi network, mm-hmm. there's a million products, right? There's Wi-Fi repeaters and extenders.
Yeah,
and
those are fun.
There's all sorts of products, and they have evolved tremendously over the years. One that gets a lot of press and a lot of advertising is Eero, E-E-R-O. But the one that I've personally installed for my landlord, so putting it to a real-world test, setting it up, getting it to work, is Plume.
Right.
And what's cool about Plume is you have a master or the gateway Plume, mm-hmm. and then you have a bunch of slave Plumes.
So right? It's sort of like a repeater for like radio stations. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a mini. It's like creating a mesh radio station repeater network in your house or around your yard.
Has he got it like all over the compound there? Or
well, you could theoretically.
Yeah.
So, but what the way these things work is you have a master that you plug in with an Ethernet cable to your router. Mm-hmm. Straightforward enough. Then you add more plumes around the home. Mm-hmm. The idea is that no two plumes should be more than 15 to 20 feet from each other.
Right.
20 feet supposedly is really pushing it. But as long as you have that distance between plumes, it creates this seamless Wi-Fi mesh throughout your home. Okay. You can walk from room to room, upstairs, downstairs. You're on the same Wi-Fi network. Because you've gotten those extenders, right, where you have same network name, but with EXT at the end. And
yeah,
there's another one that's 5G, and you're like, there's like four freaking Wi-Fi networks in your, right. Which one should I use, you know? Not with this. Once you have this set up, you have one mesh network. There's no 5G, 2.4 gigahertz, blah, blah, blah. It's one thing. And it does its own intelligence to measure the connections to all the other units, changes the channels of these things. And it has its own what they call backhaul, which means that they're communicating with each other on a different radio band
right.
from the Wi-Fi. Hmm. And that's the problem with the traditional repeaters. One of those Netgear things you plug in with little antennas, you know?
Right.
When you're using a repeater like that, half of the bandwidth is eaten up in the backhaul, which is having the round trip between those
right.
the router and the repeater. You lose half. With the Plume system, you don't lose as much. So you get decent coverage.
So you can stream whatever you want, wherever you want.
Yeah, like I tested it in my landlord's place. Their router is actually in a separate building. There's like an office, then there's like a 10-foot space between the office and the house. Mm-hmm. I put the gateway in the office and then one in the bedroom of the house. Mm-hmm. So the signal hops over here. Then it goes from there to the living room where it hops over there.
Okay.
And then there's one downstairs in the fitness room. So the signal hops down there.
There it is.
And it's going like probably when it's all said and done, at least 50, 60 feet from the original router through many different walls.
That's great.
And she has a, what are they called? A Peloton exercise bike.
Right.
This is a super fancy bike where you're watching an instructor and you're in a spin class live.
Right, right.
So you need to have good streaming, you know, and it works. I tested it at about 25 megabits per second download speed, and their actual Fios is 60. So it's a little less than half the speed of the Fios itself.
But that's still plenty.
It's plenty to stream, you know, 1080p,
right.
4K, you know, borderline, but it's pretty impressive technology. And it's cool because it's all self-managed. It has a little app on your phone. Is it totally a brain-dead simple thing? If it works right the first time, it is. If not, you need a phone call.
Yeah.
But it includes tech support.
Right.
You can call somebody and talk through it. It's pretty cool. How much? You say, how much do you pay?
How much are you going to pay for
this? How much do you pay? Well, they sell them in packs of 3, 6, 9. You can buy them. And they come. And these little things are cute. They're not much bigger than this thing. They look like little air fresheners you plug into the wall.
Or USB blocks.
Yeah. And you open the box, and there's a whole bunch of them there. And you can get them in different size packages depending on the house. Mm-hmm. And if you go on the website, say, how many bedrooms do you have? 3 or 4? Well, you need this many. And they have new ones called Super Plumes, which up the speed of the whole system and the gateway just upgraded to. And so this is a really cool technology. So if you're having trouble getting Wi-Fi to the far reaches of your house mm-hmm. or just into that one room of the house, these are really a really cool way to go. So not really VO related, but these things are really cool. And you're still wondering, how much would you pay? I just saw a hand out of the corner of my eye going like this. You still haven't told us how much they cost.
How much, George?
You know what? I didn't Google the price of the things. They're
taking out a second mortgage. You can have this extremely expanded Wi-Fi network.
It's actually, what's cool about it is a lot of the other systems, you have to buy into at least two or three of these units, and they tend to be about $150, $200 each.
Okay.
And these systems are about, each plume itself is about $50, $60.
Ah.
So you can buy, to start with, two or three of them for about $150, maybe
right.
$200. And then you just expand as you find holes in your Wi-Fi coverage. So I like that. I like that pay-as-you-go kind of thing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's nice. The Wi-Fi routers over there, it just picked me up in here.
Yeah, you guys have a dedicated one for the studio, yeah, and then you have one for the house.
Yeah, yeah,
you've kind of solved
that problem.
They
tend to interfere with each other.
But they do sometimes interfere. It's true.
Yeah.
Which Wi-Fi network am I on? Why can't I see the other? Oh, that's right. I'm on the wrong Wi-Fi network.
All right. Well, that's enough Wi-Fi geekiness for one night.
Wi-Fi!
All right. We got lots more coming up, along with our interview with J. Michael Collins and A.J. McKay in just a few minutes. We got a few more technical things that you will be fascinated with coming up right after this on Voice Over Body Shop.
And now we return to those thrilling days of yesteryear, and we find our heroes, Sheriff Dan and Marshal George, on a dusty stakeout at Voice Over Gulch. Let's see what drama is about to take place.
In the world, those getting started in voiceover and those who are established but want more work, VO2GoGo has got you covered. If you're just getting started in voiceover, VO2GoGo's Getting Started in Voiceover class is a deep dive into exactly how to do it right. With video lessons taught by David H. Lawrence the 17th, downloads, homework, quizzes, and actual on-mic work. And the price is right. Absolutely free. Just go to vo2gogo.com/... Thank you. Start, and you'll get instant access to the class. That's vo2gogo.com/start. Now, if you're already a working VO talent and you want more work, then VO2GoGo's Pro Program is for you. This is the most comprehensive, complete voiceover support system in the world, with classes, workouts, private coaching, demo production, and more, teaching you the art and commerce and the science of voiceover. If that sounds like it was built for you, guess what? It was! And you get instant membership at vo2gogo.com/pro. That's vo2gogo.com/pro. Getting started or going pro, go to vo2gogo.com now. It's everything you need to be a successful voiceover talent.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
And we're back, and it's Voice Over Body Shop, and time for more tech talk. But before we get into that, we need to remind people that if they need help with their home voiceover studio, if you want to learn a lot more, you're starting from scratch, if you are an established pro making billions of dollars, because it's been promised to all of you out there that the voiceover world is paved with gold, some of you who happen to be doing that, you still need to have your home voiceover studio. It is a must in 2018, 2019, and forward. And there's only two guys who have created, curated, fixed, maintained, and tuned to absolute perfection in the world that know how to do it. That's you and me, right?
That's right, man.
Okay, good. Your turn to do some from hyperbole here.
TowardsTheTech.com is where you find me on the web. I can be booked for real-time services where we're on the phone or on Zoom or something, or you can send me in files for what I call more of a virtual engineering self-service kind of thing. And it's I can design your studio. I can tell you why your mic's buzzing, all that stuff right over there at GeorgeTheTech.com. And Dan is over at
HomeVoiceOverStudio.com. I offer very similar services. I am a full-time voice actor. I am not the big-time engineer that you are. But I've built a whole bunch of these studios. I look at it from the voice actor's perspective.
The real world,
yes. And so I know a bit or two about what it's supposed to sound like.
Right.
Or whistle. See, now you know what that means.
And every time you say that, I want to whistle.
Feel free. It can be the bed to this particular thing. You can send me a file at homevoiceoverstudio.com. All you got to do is click on the specimen collection cup at the bottom of the homepage, and I will, for $25, I will analyze your audio, see if it's right, and occasionally I talk to you about it.
That's right. We will occasionally bounce things off. If one of us gets stumped, we'll bounce it off the other.
We had a cool one last week.
Uh-huh.
That was like, what is that? I was close, wasn't I?
You were. That was the Wi-Fi thermometer.
The thermometer, yes.
And I think that was Simon Vance's studio.
Yeah, all of a sudden it went every 60 seconds.
Every 60 seconds. There was this.
I'm like, some Bluetooth thing is trying to find its mate. And I was close.
Yeah,
it was a Wi-Fi thing sending out a
Wi-Fi
signal.
Thing, yeah. And Simon figured that out on his own amazingly.
Well, he's a smart guy.
He is.
Anyway, we've got a bunch of tech questions for our expertise coming right up here. And we'll start off with Cole Niblett. She says, he says, I was hoping you could help me understand latency and buffer size a little better. I recently purchased an Audient ID4 and have the option to set the latency and buffer size. Mm-hmm. I started out selecting a variety of different combinations, and to my ears, I couldn't hear much of any difference. I'm running a PC, Windows 7, and Reaper is my DAW. It is the automatic setting the best option, or how do you find the right settings for my setup? Tons of thanks in advance, Cole. Well, first off, my immediate thought is, who are you listening to? You know, a lot of people, headphones on, headphones off. That has to do with latency. But what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's the monitoring side. It's funny that I can't remember the last time this question came up.
And here it is.
You know, so I'm glad we're covering what seems to me new ground here on this particular topic. But the latency and the buffer are related to each other. The larger the buffer, the longer the latency. Well, what's the latency we're talking about anyway? That's the time between the time it takes for your voice to go into the microphone, get recorded into the computer, and then make its way back through the computer, through the interface to your headphones. That's right. The latency.
Right.
So why do we as voice actors have to worry about latency? Well, we basically don't. We don't need to monitor ourselves. So if you really have to monitor yourself, you should not be monitoring what comes out of the DAW. You should be monitoring what comes out of the interface.
Right.
That's why, like a mixer, you're hearing the sound right off the mixer. If you're on a Scarlett 2i2, there's a direct monitor button. When you press that, it's literally an audio feed that goes from your mic into your headphones.
Make sure your speakers are off.
And your speakers have to be off. Feedback central. So that latency really only is relevant for musicians who are doing overdubbing and doing multi-track recording.
Right.
So they actually are really concerned about latency. They want to make sure that when they punch in a recording or they play over top something else, that the two fit together without any weird delays. They don't want to have to shift the audio over to line it up later.
Right.
So they really care about latency. Also, anybody that uses virtual instruments, in other words, hey, you hit a key on a synthesizer, you want to hear that sound come back as fast as possible. You don't want any delay.
Right.
That's where latency is super critical. So you'll hear people talk about Thunderbolt. Thunderbolt's awesome. We get 3 milliseconds of latency. It's not relevant for us. It really doesn't matter. As long as your audio is recorded without clicks and pops, dropouts and things, you're good. And probably automatic is fine.
All right.
So just stick with automatic or whatever the default is, unless otherwise directed by your doctor.
Right. And Cole, if it's working for you.
Yeah. If it sounds good, it is good.
It is good. Exactly right. Paul Stefano, the one and only, asks, I have an Apollo Twin Solo wired through a Belkin Thunderbolt dock. Okay, very specific. Whenever the monitor goes to sleep and I try to bring it back, the monitor stays black. I have to unplug the Apollo or power cycle it to bring the Mac back up. Sometimes nothing works and I have to reboot.
Okay.
That one happens. I've seen that one happen. But a lot of people have been talking about how, you know, the Apollo is affecting things.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that one, but I can tell you that anytime you're using any kind of a hub thing, dock,
don't
hub,
use a hub.
Docks and hubs are very persnickety. Like, they're really, because there's a lot going on. You have a Thunderbolt connection going to a box.
Right.
And then that box takes that Thunderbolt and converts it to everything else.
Right.
Ethernet, audio, video, HDMI, all these different things. So USB. And it's trying to do the best it can and not cause any issues. But sometimes they cause problems, and this is one of those cases. I haven't used a ton of different Thunderbolt docks. The ones I've had the most success with, and still not perfect always, but the most success have been from MacSales.com. That's Otherworld, OWC,
right?
Otherworld Computing.
Right.
I think their stuff's pretty dang rock solid. But that's probably what you're dealing with here. You're just dealing with a pesky issue where the dock is getting in the way of things. Right. So try a different dock, perhaps. That might be something you might want to try.
Because he doesn't have the right entry on his computer. So
well, yeah, if he's using a Thunderbolt computer that has one Thunderbolt port,
yeah,
and you have a Thunderbolt interface and a monitor that also needs to be plugged in, you run out of ports pretty fast.
Right.
A dock like that becomes important.
So the routing traffic on there is sort of like the 405 around Wilshire Boulevard at about 5 o'clock.
It can be. I mean, Thunderbolt's fast, but the hub has to be able to keep up.
Right. He also has some bone conduction headphones. Have you guys tried them for live direction? Seems like a perfect solution to avoid bleed through into the mic on a live session.
Have you played with one of those yet?
I haven't played with
A while ago, I mentioned this. I think I have one at home in a drawer somewhere.
Right.
It's called Aftershocks.
Right.
Aftershockz or something. They have a Z on the end.
Right.
Yeah, so instead of going over the ear like regular headphones, they go like behind the head and they actually
through your clavicle.
They press like right here on your jaw.
Right.
Like this. And so they send audio into the jaw, but they also unfortunately radiate sound themselves.
Right,
they're not totally silent.
Right.
So if you're playing back something pretty loud, you hear the sound come right out of the actual transducer.
That's going to be like the phone thing we had last week. Yeah. Don't use the phone.
It's almost like an open air headphone. They were designed for people to be able to ride, jog, whatever, bike,
right,
in ski, traffic, outside, right, safely, and still hear everything around them, which is what they're. But unfortunately, I think because of that reason, there's too much bleed. They don't really work as well as I would have hoped.
All right. And Gerard Maguire has a question. Yes. If you have a choice of soundproofing a garage or building a booth inside it, what would you recommend and which would be more economical? The garage already is well built and fairly quiet, but it's in L.A. Enough said. Well, that was the first thing that I would ask is, boy, it can get hot in your garage.
Oh, my God.
Not the best
like
place.
An oven.
Yeah. You know, depending on which direction the door is facing, too.
I mean, right, true.
Facing south, I mean, you could cook eggs in there.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And bake cookies and stuff.
That's true. So he's saying, which would be more economical? Which one? What is he comparing? Garages? Oh, soundproofing or building? Well, building a booth in the garage is way more economical.
Yeah.
It's way cheaper to build a little 3x5 box.
A closet.
Yeah, than it is to soundproof an entire
room.
18x20-foot garage. Way cheaper. So that's a no-brainer. Yeah, building a booth is much cheaper. Then you can, if you build a booth quiet enough, then you can get like a portable air conditioner for $300, pipe it in there through some baffles,
right,
and you can keep that little box cool enough to work in all year round.
Yeah. You know? Been seeing those little air conditioners over at Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a conduit. You got to run it out a window and stuff.
They do. They have to exhaust the heat somewhere.
Right.
If you're in a garage, the heat's going to exhaust into the garage.
And then it's going to be 400 degrees
right,
in there.
Right.
And but be able to make a roast in there.
The thing is, it doesn't work as efficiently because it's taking in hot air and trying to cool that hot air.
Right.
Versus if it was inside your house.
Right.
It's circulating the cool air. So your mileage may vary, but sometimes they work okay.
Alrighty. Well,
good luck.
Yeah. If you got questions for us that you would like repeated on this show and have us take a shot at the answer, you can email us at theguys@vobs.tv, and we are happy to answer those questions on this very show, just as we demonstrated tonight.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's right. Right. Well, we have an interview with J. Michael Collins and AJ McKay coming up that I recorded yesterday, which has a story to it all its own. And we'll be right back with that right after these important messages.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Hey everybody, I'm here to tell you about our good friends over at Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, Source Connect Now, Vizdin, all kinds of cool products. Vizdin. What the heck is that? You may have heard of this acronym. It's a new acronym we've been buzzing around for the last few months. If you've got an ISDN codec, it's been sitting around collecting dust, or it's just been vacuuming money out of your wallet. I was just at a client's home in Nashville area last week. He said his phone bill has passed the $900 a month mark for his AT&T ISDN service. It might be time to consider Vizdin, which lets you connect your existing ISDN codec box, be it a Telus, a Zephyr, or whatnot, to the internet. And it's not a bridge. It's not going through some shenanigans. It really is converting ISDN to internet. And in a way, it's actually technically possible to be more reliable than old-fashioned ISDN because Vizdin connects to up to two internet connections at the same time. So you could have a cable modem and a DSL modem both connected to Vizdin, so you have super-duper uptime on your ISDN lines. You'd be amazed at how affordable it is if you've been dealing with ISDN for years. You might want to give it a try. Head over to source-elements.com and give it a look and see what it's all about. You might find an economical solution to you, or really the only way to get ISDN in your location for many of you. So go give it a try, and we'll be right back here with this fantastic interview that Dan did with our friends J. Michael Collins and AJ McKay right after this.
This is the Latin Lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on The Voiceover Body Shop.
All right, we're back. Need to set this up just a little bit.
Please do.
Seeing as a lot of what we do on this show is cautionary tales.
Yes.
Now, this is, it sounds great, it looks great, but you need to understand, and if any of you have ever produced video, you know, you cannot be the cameraman, the assistant director, the lighting director, the audio director, and the director and the interviewer all in one when you're trying to do an interview with two people.
What's that in hair? Makeup? And costumes.
I forgot that. Yeah, exactly. There's definitely costuming with this. and a costuming error, because there's things that happen in this interview that I shot it with three cameras. Man. And then one camera, I set it up and everybody's talking, and then suddenly it's like, it's me from here down.
Oh, man.
So that was unusable. And then, of course, there's audio, and I had it go into two different sources, and the source that I ended up using was not the one I selected. But it sounds fine, and it looks great.
It's all there, folks.
It's all there.
You can hear everything.
AJ McKay was with our good friend J. Michael Collins at on Santa Monica Boulevard. Big, tall hotel.
They there residential for a conference?
They were there. They were doing a workshop.
Oh, workshop. Yeah.
And I walk in there. I'm like, hey, I know everybody here.
Cool.
It was great. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, but we sat down and had a conversation about demos and what they do, and here it is. And welcome back to VoiceOver Body Shop. We're overlooking Los Angeles here because our guests have joined us on Santa Monica Boulevard. They've been doing a workshop here today with a bunch of people from the area, and they were kind enough to join us here on the show. And let's welcome to the show J. Michael Collins and AJ McKay.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going, guys?
Good. It's going.
Do you have a good workshop today?
Can't complain. Good group.
Yeah.
Very, very good group.
Yeah, it was fun to watch them. Yeah, it was fun to watch them ad lib a little bit. A lot of familiar faces. Tell us, you've been on our show before from far, far away. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and, about your voiceover career and stuff.
Well, I started in, like a lot of people, in radio, which I know is taboo these days, but I started when I was a teenager, had my first show, and radio career didn't last very long, but started doing voiceovers for sponsors on that station.
You needed to make a living in other
words. Exactly, right? long story short, by the time I was out of college, I was making a little bit of income doing voiceover, had the chance to go to law school, decided, well, I'm going to stick with this and see if it works, and family thought I was nuts, but so far so good. from there, it was sort of 10 years of the traditional agency-based going in and doing live auditions and booking a job or two a week, or sometimes a job or two a month, and slowly building a career. And about 10 years ago or so, I found the do-it-yourself world of voiceover as the market started to change, and got more involved in the community, got into coaching about 7 or 8 years ago, and shortly thereafter started producing demos, first for myself and then for others, and I'm not necessarily sure some of the initial offerings are ones that I want publicly listened to. It's gotten better over time.
Ridiculous. what got you interested in doing demos?
I think it was more need and request based than anything else. I was coaching a few talent at that point, and most of my demos at that time were real spots, were actual commercials that I had done. And one of the things that I ran into, and some of the talent that I was working with ran into as well, was that sometimes the production values on the actual spots were not I love my clients, but not everything that ultimately gets put out there is amazing. And I thought, well, we could do this better ourselves, and produce, create copy, create spots that sound like and feel like national work, but maybe the production values are going to be a bit higher. And so that was the inspiration, and it just grew from there.
Yeah. What kind of genres of demos do you do?
I do everything except for video games, animation, and audio. Books. Those are areas where I don't feel qualified as a voice actor or someone who has spent a lot of time in those fields to work on demos. Everything else I play in as a voice talent, and therefore I'm comfortable doing demos with.
Yeah. Now, AJ, where are you from? You're from Louisville?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
So some people say Louisiana. No, it's not the No, I was born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky. I started in radio when I was 15, and I... at 43 now, I got out in 2010, and I've been a producer all my life. I've been a mixer and an audio engineer and a sound designer, as well as a voice talent. And so I've lived in different cities. With radio, you kind of move around a little bit. I was very fortunate that I had longevity at every station that I worked for. 7 years here, 8 years there, and so on. So
that's a career.
It's especially good radio. It's like a year or two in a market, and you're done. So I was very I worked at some really great stations. musicians, and I've just always been fascinated by manipulation of sound and what you can do with sound and how you can interweave that into voice and sound effects, and you know, so I'm nerdy that way.
Not just that way.
Not just that way. Thanks.
Yeah, and so you're an engineer primarily.
I'm not afraid to. I don't recommend this for everyone, but I'm primarily self-taught. I'm an idiot savant when it comes to sound design and audio. I research. I mean, it's not like I just woke up and I can do it. I mean, I learn and I find, you know, new techniques and study. I just never had any formal college training or engineering schools, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't teach courses, because I know what to do. I just can't teach you how to do it, you know.
It's just something that comes naturally.
I've been very, very fortunate in life that I've just picked it up. Yeah. I can't explain it, but I love every minute of it.
Yeah.
He's good at it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, having been a production director and doing all that same kind of stuff, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's fun and it's creative. And, yeah. And it's like, well, that didn't work. But it's non-destructive now. Right. But you probably learned like I did with reel-to-reel and the grease pencil and a razor blade.
Yeah. I mean, you know, back in the day, when I first got into the business, it was all reel-to-reel machines. And it was, you know, you're doing concert spots on two-track reel, and you know, a lot of the times I was just splicing and I screwed that up, let's start again. And now, you know, it's just with digital technology, it's you can do so many more creative things.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
I think, because I like the warmness of the tape, you know, the old reel-to-reel tape. I like that warmth. You can do a whole lot more now.
People don't realize that for most of us, our first demo reel was a reel.
Yeah.
I still have them.
Right.
I got a whole closet full of them. You know, the masking tape holding it to the end of the reel is getting a little brittle. But so what does AJ do with you then?
AJ is the lead engineer on my sound design team, and I've got a few people that work for me, but he's the king. He's the best of the bunch. He's my senior guy, and he, you know, has an ear that he lives inside my head.
Yeah,
you know, it's almost
pretty creepy.
It's going to get the complex.
He really does have a vision for understanding what I'm trying to do with the demo when I write the copy, when I direct the session, and how that is supposed to come together. And you just, he grasps at the moment that he hears the read, the moment that he hears the copy. And these days I don't have to give you much direction. You go and he does his thing, and then of course I come back and evaluate each individual spot. We may make a few tweaks, but the synchronicity, I think, is what makes us such a good team.
We have very little dialogue when it comes to, I mean, we don't, get me wrong, we send hundreds of emails a month, but it's not, I love the fact that this is the first person that I've found that I can work with, and I have the creative freedom to do what I want to do with it, you know. And sometimes he'll rein me back, and you know, I go a little too far or whatever.
Right.
But
it's not far enough.
It's
sort of like directing someone through an audition.
Right. Yeah. But it's, because I don't work well with somebody saying, well, here, use this bed, I want these effects, this is how I want it to say. You know, I like to have that creative freedom.
Right.
And more times, I'd say 9 times out of 10, he's on the same wavelength with me, and so it just works.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where I can't explain it. know, it just works.
We're made for each other.
We're made for each other.
So how'd you guys start working together? I remember meeting you in Vegas.
Yeah,
with Joe was doing his showing off his book, and you were working with him there. But,
right, and we were in a workshop together. I actually, it was really by fate. I'll tell this story because I'm really proud of it. Jen Henry is the person that introduced, you know, I knew of Jen.
Jen's kind of the Kevin Bacon of voiceover.
She really is.
Like the center of all things.
Yeah, yeah. But Jen was working on a demo with J. Michael, and she said, I want AJ to do the mix on it. And he's like, well, no, I've got people that I work with. I don't really know AJ's skills. She's like, well, that's who I want to do it. And she was very, as Jen, she was very insistent. Yeah. He sent me, he's like, okay. So he sent me the audio of the takes that he wanted to use. And I think within 2 days, because at that moment I had plenty of free time, and I spent.
So what happened?
And I spent. I literally spent 8 hours, both of those days doing just banging it out. It was a in show narration.
Yeah.
And he got it back, and months later we had talked, and I said, when you first got that back, you thought it was going to be crap, didn't you? You didn't think it was going to. And he was like, yeah.
It's 2 days.
I got really nervous when you sent it back to me in 2 days. But that was kind of the catalyst. And the next one was Susan Bernard, and we wound up winning a Sovos for her demo. And it just kind of snowballed and took off from there. So, like I said, I'm very grateful for that relationship.
We have a problem here. We have an interloper.
Oh, my gosh.
How did you people get in my living room? Oh, hi, Dan. How are you?
Good to see you. What's going on?
I forgot I loaned you the living room, too. Bye, everybody.
See you later, Joe.
He's going to want residuals off this now.
Yeah, I know. Dang, we get contracts. So how long have you been doing this together?
Two or 3 years now, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the demo creation process. You've discussed a little bit about how you guys work together, but somebody comes in, they pay for a demo. Say your basic commercial demo. How do you guys do it?
First and foremost, I think the thing that is very important for both of us, and I know for me in particular because my name goes on these, is that we work with people who are ready and who are. And for me, that's what that means to me is that we can produce a demo for them that will allow them to book market rate work. I'm not a big fan of the argument that you should only do a demo when you're ready to present it to a top five LA agent.
Right.
People can book market rate work through other sources, through other agents, on their own, through marketing, and maybe they're not quite ready for top level national commercial work, but they're ready to go out and make a living, and they're entitled to have a good demo too if they are at that point. But I'm very careful to work with folks who I believe can actually go out and see return on that investment. I think we've got too many people these days, and it's less the individuals than it is certain organizations that are just happy to take money from anybody who's got a credit card, and
right.
I think it's important not to do that. So that's the first thing, is are you ready? Are you demo ready? Are you qualified? After that, it should be a bespoke experience that's tailored around the individual talent. So I will listen to whatever they've already, if I've coached them, that's great, because I know them and I already have an understanding of what they can do and where their strengths are and maybe areas we might want to avoid. But if not, if it's somebody who's come in and just wants me to produce, then I'll have a listen to what they've done. I'll have them send me quite a bit of work, previous demos, and get a sense for who they are. And then in consultation with them, we'll start scripting. And I think one of the things that's very important to me as a demo producer, and I think really is essential to a great demo, is to have copy that's custom written for the talent, not boilerplate scripts, not stuff that's,
So you need to know the talent.
You need to know the talent, And so we'll get into scripting with talent feedback. I'll ask them to give me a list of companies and brands that they like and any that they really dislike and things that they are passionate about, for or against, and I'll incorporate that into the copywriting process, submit it to the talent to review and approve, and we might go through a round or two of revisions on that. Once we're happy with the copy, we set a demo day. I tend to remote direct most of them, although from time to time, I was in Lotus in New York last week directing one live. From time to time, if I'm here, I'll do that, but most of them we do via Zoom, and the talent will come in on mic from their studio. I'll direct them through the session. Whenever I do a demo session, it's time unlimited. Mm-hmm. So tend to block 2 hours or so. Most talent don't need a whole lot more than that, but we're not going to put a cap on it. It's going to be one of those, we're going to stay there and get the reads the way we are both happy with until both the talent and myself say, yeah, we've got it. We're thrilled. And once we've gone through the session, I'll do initial cut downs on the session and come up with the takes that I think are the winners. Then AJ comes in, and I might have a few marching orders for AJ. Sometimes I'm like, hey, you see the copy, we're on the same page, we're simpatico, do your thing. And then AJ begins his part of the process, which you can speak to a little bit more.
Yeah, I just, I think the thing for me is that when you have good copy, when it tells a really good story, it makes life easier for me because I get a mental picture in my head of how, you know, what needs to happen where, with sound effects, with you know, with the music and the imagery, you know, it really you know, we all have our strengths and weaknesses in the business. And for me, you know, like I write copy, I wrote copy for years in radio. It wasn't a super strong thing for me. So when I get beautiful copy and great takes to work with, it makes life so much easier for me. I mean, these things, I can get them together fairly quickly, you know.
And then AJ gets the produced cuts back to me, usually in a full form. I'll review, and if revisions are necessary, we'll go through until we're happy with the final product.
It's usually an order swap.
It's usually an order swap, and maybe a bed here or there or something. But you know, AJ's like you said, he's kind of a savant, and I'll forget the other part.
there have been times where we've really just, you know, the stars have aligned, and we've sent you know our version out,
right,
and it literally gets signed off on without any revision. And that's always a beautiful thing when you know, because I'm just, you know, we're very passionate about putting out quality.
Well, and one of the things that's important to me too is that, you know, when I'm working with the talent, whenever they get their demo back, I'm going to keep working on that until they're happy. So, you know, not everyone we present to a talent and they say, okay, that's perfect from the start. There may be something that they don't like in their read.
Right,
there may be something
right.
that, you know, production element they want changed, or it just didn't come out the way that they thought on one particular spot.
Right.
We'll keep working on that until they're completely. And I drive AJ nuts with this sometimes because of...
It happens, but it's not often.
We'll keep working on it until they're completely happy. And I think that the other thing that's really important is... I always put out there that if you're not happy at the end of the day, you get your money back. No questions asked. Because this is something that you're going to take out there and put out to the world, and you should love it. And if you don't, I haven't done my job. AJ's probably done his most of the time.
No, I feel the same way. It's like, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, I want them to be happy with the result. And if you're not, well, then let's fix it until we get it right.
Yeah,
you know, it's all about super serving, you know, the end user.
Right. Well, if you're just joining us, our guests are J. Michael Collins from JMC Demos and his engineer, A.J. McKay. And we're talking about how you do demos. So this is a fascinating subject. We're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll be right back here on Voice Over Body Shop. So don't go away.
Style. Power.
You're watching the home of the NFL.
The all-new iPhone.
Reserve your Disney World season pass now.
Through all the runny noses, 3 in the morning coughs,
an all-new American Crime Story tonight on FX.
This week only, it's Pasta Fest at Olive Garden.
Heart rate? Prime. Blood pressure? Perfect.
I grew up with the classics. And now with StubHub, I can get authentic tickets to the best shows.
The all-new Chevy Cruze from $16,995.
Be inspired. Then get the beauty that's uniquely yours at Sephora.
This week at Home Depot, it's our Garden Fest sale with up to 30% off all garden tools, sod, and seeds.
Hi, it's J. Michael Collins, and these are just a few examples of the first-class demos my team and I are producing. If you'd like to have something similar, visit jmcvoiceover.com and click on the Demo Production tab to find out more.
All right, it's time to talk about our great friend Harlan Hogan. Who's Harlan Hogan? Harlan Hogan's a guy that's been in broadcasting and voiceover since the beginning of time. Since he knows those sorts of things, he has the best equipment out there, and he has created the website voiceoveressentials.com. Now, voiceoveressentials.com is a great site because it has everything you could possibly need for your home voiceover studio. And he features a number of really great Signature Series products, like the VO1A microphone that I am speaking into right now that you can't actually see, but it's actually there. And also a number of other great products, including the Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones. There they are, right there. These are great headphones. Okay, back to me. There we go. They're great headphones because they're made of aluminum. They have a Twist-O-Flex headband. And they're totally isolating, and they also have memory foam pads. But here's the real thing about the Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones. They are made for voiceover. They are optimized for voiceover because they had an incredibly flat response. You're not going to get a lot of excess bass. It's not going to color the sound at all. It's going to be the sound of your voice as your voice exists, which is really the most important thing when you're listening to your playback of your audio, or if you're one of those guys that has to listen to their sound of their own voice while they're talking, they do that. But of course, you can always rotate it off and make sure that one ear is off so you can actually hear the environment in which you are speaking. You can get these over at voiceoveressentials.com. All you got to do is go right down to the bottom of our homepage that you're probably watching the show on and click on the icon of Harlan Hogan talking into his Portabooth Pro, the big one. And to click on that, it'll take you right to voiceoveressentials.com and where you can purchase everything he has there. So go over there, check out the headphones. I highly recommend them. We use them here on our show, and you should use them in your booth. Thanks, Harlan, for being our sponsor for 7.5 years. We're looking for another 7.5 more. So, take care.
This is the Latin Lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on VoiceOver Body Shop.
You know, there's a little bit more to this interview. I mean, because, you know, there's an issue that came up last week with J. Michael and a well-known Canadian pay-to-play site.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about that briefly and some other things that go on. So if you want to hear some really cool stuff, stick around because he's going to talk about how to use your demo properly and a couple of other things. So roll part two. And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. J. Michael Collins and A.J. McKay are guests, and thanks for joining us. So we're talking about demos. How long does this process take to do a demo?
Typically speaking, if we're just talking about from the moment that that script writing begins until we actually have it delivered, talent's usually going to get in for a demo session maybe 2 or 3 weeks after they get their script, sometimes sooner than that. And then we usually look at about a 4-week turnaround to get it back to them.
Okay. And usually what's the cost on something like that?
Depends on the genre of demo. When we get into broadcast demos, so commercial, TV narration, promo, etc., the amount of work involved with that and the production work involved with that, pulling SOTs, pulling production elements, is substantially more intensive than on, for instance, an e-learning demo. Right. Or a corporate narration demo. So yeah. At the low end, we're at $1,800 for some of the corporate stuff, all the way up to $2,100. So it's a pretty small range, but broadcast is going to be a little bit more.
Yeah. So and like you said, it really depends. You know, if we're mixing a promo demo, that's obviously going to take because it's so detailed and you just really have to fine tune those things, and they really have to sound a certain way. E-learning, corporate narration, you have a little bit more flexibility. It's not as production intensive, so right. Those come back or tend to come back fairly quickly.
Yeah, those come back quickly, and it's just when you do a promo demo, it's SOTs written around a particular episode, and you've got to go and isolate them, and it's work.
Yeah, yeah, but it's fun.
Well, it's fun.
Well, this is a fun business.
It is.
What can I say? Speaking of the business, let's talk a little bit about the voiceover business and demos. How important are demos to people? I mean, I'm sure we have a lot of new people that are, you know, they're tuning in and we're clicking in, or however you describe it on the internet these days, and they're like, what kind of a demo do I need? What, you know, and how should I use this demo once I have it?
Well, they're critical, and they're critical because there are really sort of four broad ways that you bring to work in this business. The classic agency-based route, okay? If you're going to get agency representation at whatever level, you're talking about getting in the door with an organization that has some of the best talent in the world.
Absolutely.
And who is presenting their roster to high-end ad agencies, to national-level buyers, to Fortune 50 brands. You have to represent their brand, and your demo has to be to a level of quality that says, I can compete on a national level. I can compete with the very best in the business. And so in order to attract their attention, to get that representation, getting referrals are great, but if you're cold submitting, your demos have to be not just good, they've got to be elite. Because in today's industry, you know, and you guys know that I always talk about how I think it's a myth that we're oversaturated saturated with competition in this business. But in certain markets, there is a lot of competition. And even in the broader VO world, everybody right now has, you know, everybody who's competitive has good demos. You know, it's great that Dan's sitting here profiling us, but there are a dozen solid demo producers out there. Absolutely. You can go to Chuck, you can go to Nancy Wolfson, you can go to Mark Grau, you can go to Uncle Roy, you can go to Ann Ganguza. You're going to get good production, okay, at the end of the day. Your demo needs to rise above whoever it is who may be interested in the same roster spot that you are. Right. And you have to, it just has to be at another level. So whoever you go to, what's important is that every read sounds like it could be a national spot. Yeah. That, you know, we're talking, if we're thinking about a commercial demo here, or if it's e-learning, that the content's really relevant and specific to what the market's looking for, and that if you are one of a stack of 20 demos,
right,
you're the one that the buyer, the casting director, the agent goes, that one. That's right. The one that we're looking for.
Right. And it's got to, like, it's got to grab them,
yeah, to be
by the nose in, you know, the first 5 seconds or so.
Yeah.
What's the real secret to getting a demo to get it to be, to nail somebody right away?
I for me, I think it's the content. I think it's, and I think that's one of the things that we work hard to do, mm-hmm, and I know I work hard to do as a copywriter, is to create copy that is on the bleeding edge, that's relevant, that's what the market's looking for, and that's what's, it's popping, it's interesting, it's edgy. Sometimes maybe I push the boundaries a little too far, okay? But
you never.
But I you know, I always say I want to appeal to the people who are going to be casting for the next 30 years, and not necessarily the people who have been casting for the last 30 years.
Right.
And I want to stay on top of trends and look at what, you know, marketing is done these days, advertising is done to the 18 to 30 year old demographic. And young people today, they're edgy. There are no taboos. There are no lines. The senses of humor are right on that cutting edge. And I want to match that with the content and demo. So I think that's the most important thing now is, do you have a read that, I always use the line, that's going to make the listener spit coffee out of their nose. At least one of those on the demo that's going to make them go and want to take it out into reception and play it for everybody.
Right, right. Well, and you have to, I mean, it's, I mix, the way that I mix for what I call, I mix for air, I mix for broadcast.
Right.
And I think, you know, everyone has a different algorithm or a different way they do it. I mix those things to sound like spots that actually could run on air. You know, it's some people, you know, they keep the beds really low in the mix, and, you know, to really feature, right, the voice. I just do it differently because I think that, you know, they want to get a sense of, you know, and it's smoke and mirrors, it's subliminal, but they want to get a sense of how you're going to sound on a real spot. And so that's how I try to mix.
Right. Have you spoken to agents about what it is they're looking for?
Yes.
What are some of the things they tell you?
You know, what's hot right now, the feedback that I've gotten from some of the real big agencies is the anthemic read. You know, warmer, closer to the mic, rhythmic, not so much inflection. The spot that says, you know, we're the company that does this, and we do this, and we do that, and it's about him, and it's about her. Right. You know, and it's meant to evoke something deep within you that says this is a good organization that's doing something for society. Sometimes it's even true.
Occasionally, yeah.
The anthemic read's really popular. Again, edgy humor, if it's the timing's perfect and whatever the joke is really on point. That's hot right now also. And of course, the regular guy conversational read continues to be strong.
Yeah, and there's more work out there than there used to be, and it's growing every day. Yeah. What are you seeing out there in the marketplace?
Well, there's more work out there than there is quality talent to do it. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I mean that in an encouraging way.
Right.
You know, that's what I talked about before, this mythology that we're oversaturated with talent. Well, there are a lot of people trying to do this. There are only so many people who can do this job well. And if you're one of them, the work is exploding today. Yes, commercial rates are under pressure more than they ever have been. Demographics are changing. Media consumption habits are changing. You know, and that's creating a lot of pressure on broadcast work. But out in that big non-broadcast narration space of explainer and e-learning and corporate, it's exploding. And the rates are not going down. They're steady. They're strong. You know, know, work that, that's different than what we used to do. Work that's self-marketed. Work that comes in through a well-SEO'd website. You know, and yes, even work off of the more ethical pay-to-play sites. You know, it's
if such things exist.
But it's but at the end of the day, there are more opportunities in this business today than there ever have been before. Is it harder to make $1 million a year? Yeah, it is. Okay, and that's not going to change. But the amount, the number of people who are kind of in what I call like the upper middle class of voiceover, it's more than it's ever been, and that's going to continue to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. Your thoughts on that, AJ?
Yeah, I mean, what he says, he's got it. I mean, he really has his finger on the pulse more so than I do. But yeah, I think that, you know, it's, I'll book in what you said. It really is. It's such a broad, there's so much work out there that's not being, you know, sought out. That, you know, I don't think that people realize, you know, the range of genres that you can really dive into and make really good money. I mean, I don't do corporate, and you know, I don't work in those genres. I study them because I mix those demos, and I want to make sure that I'm on point with what they're looking for. But, you know, the rates are staggering. It's given me.
E-learning.
I need to pick it up. I need to investigate that more.
Yeah, no, it's huge. I've been doing it for 15 years, and it's, you know, it's only grown, and it can be fun work. It can be. So, you know, it can drive you nuts a little bit.
It's fun when the check clears.
You don't have to have patience.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. And of course, if you're fast at it, if you can get it recorded and get it out in the format that the client wants, that's really important. When do you know that somebody's not ready? What are some of the things that sort of key you off? Well, you don't have to mention.
No, and I won't. But I think it's a judgment call. But I think I'm sort of privileged in that I sit on a lot of different sides of this business. Mm-hmm. I hire two or three times a week for my own clients. Okay, right. I've got a lot of long term clients who can come in and say, "Jay Michael, we want a younger voice. We want a female voice. We're tired of listening to you." You know, whatever it might be, that happens. You guys might be there already, but they come in and they want me to help cast for them. And if you approach me to do your demo and I listen to your stuff and my immediate reaction is I wouldn't hire this person, then I'm going to recommend that you get some coaching. And that's not always going to be with me, okay? You know, they're depending on where you are, if it's a project, I'm probably going to ask you to go to somebody else first. Right. But, you know, I think talent need to be honest with themselves, too.
You have to have a realistic expectation in this line of work. And, I mean, if you haven't gotten it in, you know, the first couple of years, then you know, maybe this isn't your line of work. I mean,
I'm not a big fan of the idea that you need to study this for 5 years before you're ready to go out and work or make a demo. If it takes you 5 years to get there, I'm a little concerned about whether or not you're going to get there.
And there's lots of people we talk to who are like, I've been studying this for 5 years, and it's like, and you haven't gotten there. Yeah, don't actually have any work or anything like that. It's, you know, it's something you really have to look at. But then again, people generally think they're a little better than they might actually be.
Yeah, and it's a tough pill to swallow. But you know, there's a reason I'm not a brain surgeon.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know how many demos I've produced in the past 6 or 7 years. It's a fair number. I've had one or two instances where I have wound up giving somebody their money back, and it's often been a case of an expectation that the demo producer is going to make you sound a little bit better than the skill level's there. You know, and that's not what we do. We work with what we've got, you know, and it's our job to take what we've got and make it sound as marketable and as viable as possible. And it's also our job to draw the line and say, no, I'm not going to take your money if you're not ready. But we're not going to make you, you know, I can make you better as a coach, but if I've never coached you and you come in, you're going to be who you are. And it doesn't matter what demo producer you go to, your skill level is going to be what comes through on the demo. So be sure you're ready.
If they're a good demo producer and you're not ready, then
they'll tell you.
They will
tell you, and we won't take your money. You know, the names that you hear every day among the best demo producers, we're not going to have trouble paying our mortgage if we don't work with you, you know, and we don't need to exploit people. We don't need to cash every check. Right. You know, we want to do good work and we want to help you grow your career.
And that's the way people would hope you would think about that. What, aside from the awards that you've won, because if you watch this show at all, you see him holding those awards all the time.
When are we getting the new spot, by the way? We're working on a new POBS spot.
I'm a little busy.
That's a good thing. But what are some of the successes you've had? You're not necessarily mentioning any names, but people who have really booked some good work because, I mean, obviously because they're good,
right?
But they had one of your demos that demonstrated their prowess.
Well, we got one in the room over there. Juliet Gray just talked about booking off of her Transatlantic demo. But
that's my favorite thing. We talked about that a little bit at lunch today. When he gets an email, because usually I hear about successes through him, when he gets an email from from a client that he's been working with, and they say, "I just wanted to thank you. I booked a national spot off of my demo, and it's something that I helped put together and work on." That gives me such a great feeling because I love seeing people succeed, and right. I love having a small part in helping them achieve their dreams. And that's cheesy, I know, but it's true. That's how I feel, and that's why I love doing this so much, because
that's what the value is. Look, awards and stuff like that are great, but at the end of the day, it really is, are we seeing results? And I think lately the political demos, we've been doing a lot of political demos this season, and I'm getting an email a week from talent saying, "I just booked this campaign, this candidate, this thing." It's wow, it's actually turning right into spots off of the political stuff. But it's really rewarding when that happens.
Of course, if the checks are coming in rubles.
Then you have a problem.
That's a whole other story. Then you might think twice about doing those political demos. So in conclusion here, tell us a little bit more where they can go if they're interested in talking to you, because I'm sure it starts with the consultation process. Where do they go?
Well, first thing, if you want to see the work that we're doing and hear the work that we're doing, visit the demo production page on my website, jmcvoiceover.com/demo-production. And we've got, almost probably close to 100 samples up there right now of some of the demos we've done in the past year or two. Have a listen and see if you think that the work that we do is a good fit for you. Not every demo producer isn't the right fit for everybody out there, and you want to work well personality wise and you also need to sort of buy into the sound and the feel of it. So if what we're doing is what kind of tugs at you and says this is great work, then get in touch with me. Email's the best way, jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. I tend to reply pretty quickly, and we'll see if it's a good fit, and I won't blow smoke at you. If it's not right, I'll tell you why. If maybe the genre that you're looking to do isn't the best fit, we'll talk about why. But if you're a good candidate, we'll make you a darn good demo.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You move around a lot.
You can't tell.
Well, I mean, you live a pretty exciting lifestyle. I mean, here we have this great view of downtown Los Angeles here, and but you get around. I mean, you're in New York, you're in Luxembourg, you're out here every now and again.
Off to Normandy soon.
Yeah, off to Normandy this August. Yeah.
What takes you to all these places?
Various work-related things, typically. Right. I mean, it's nice when it's pleasure travel, but in this instance of the workshop tour, started in New York, and we're here, and doing... doing VOBS, of course, is huge. It's a big part of this.
That's really why we're here.
That's why we're here. I've had a lot of sessions over the past week with clients who wanted me in particular studios. I have another one in Boston on Monday. The Normandy, of course, is the Euro VO retreat, which that'll be number 3.
Is that sold out?
That is sold out,
Sorry, guys.
But we'll be announcing number 4 after Voice Arts in November, so keep your eyes up.
What goes on in some of these cruises and trips that you're doing?
There are a lot of togas involved.
That sounds like a party.
I stay in my room on those days.
No, it's a learning experience that I think is a little bit different than anything else that's out there in the industry, because we bring in some of the very, very best presenters and experts in their particular fields. This next one, we've got Dave Fenoy teaching video games. Joe Cipriano just came in, is going to be teaching promos. We've got Melissa Disney doing live announcements and commercials. Yeah. Dave Walsh doing commercials. Jeffrey Umberger's coming to talk about agency representation.
I'll be doing radio imaging.
And you'll be doing radio imaging. packaging. I'm doing e-learning and corporate.
Right.
You know? And Cliff Zellman's coming for Automotive.
Yeah.
So,
oh, right.
You know, it's limited to 12 people. And that's we keep them small. We keep them intimate. We've got a lot of spouses coming to this one, so it's going to be a little bit bigger than the last couple. But 12 attendees max, which means that, you know, in Ireland, we had sessions where there were three people.
Right.
You know, and you were three people on one top out of this world presenter for 2.5 hours in a block, and you're getting an intensive personalized experience. Plus there's just the cool factor and the fun factor of hanging out in these. We have this chateau in Normandy that Marie Antoinette's brother used to live in. Yeah. You know, and it's enormous. It's got an indoor pool. We've got, you know, a caterer coming all week with fine French food, and it's just going to be a week of comfort, leisure, and learning. And I think that what I like to do in this business, I kind of feel like I want to play the Willy Wonka role a little bit. I think that sometimes we get so focused on the negative, and we get so focused on, yeah, rates are in this situation, or, you know, whatever else, somebody's trying to take advantage of somebody, whatever it might be. I want people to realize that this industry is still pretty badass. And you can achieve success in this business. You can have fun in this business. You can have a nice lifestyle. You can play. And I want to bring experiences to folks that just kind of elevate the conversation and the feel of what we do. And, you know, I hope I get there sometime. So.
I think the great thing about these retreats, because I've gone to every one of them since Barcelona, and the thing, like, you literally spend a week with top players in the game. You're able to just have coffee in the morning, or have lunch in the afternoon, or go to the beach, or take a walk, and really get to know these people and pick their brains. And I love the fact that after everyone goes home, you have built lasting friendships and brotherhoods, sisterhoods that last. Well, they're going to last forever.
Well, these groups have become families.
Yeah,
it's really remarkable.
It's very, everyone's protective of each other. Everyone lifts each other up when they're struggling.
Right.
So it's just, it's fascinating to watch.
Yeah. And I could see that when I came in working with this group you were doing a workshop with today here in L.A. One final question, if you can talk about it, was this new story earlier
that
this week.
I need to do. Thank you.
That you announced that you are taking legal action against our friends up in Canada. What's that all about?
Well,
can you talk about it?
I'll just kind of leave you with the same thing that I said to John Florian when he asked for comment on that, which is that they have used my likeness and violated my right of publicity by using my name, my voice, and my image without my permission, and in fact in direct violation of an order to cease doing so.
When they did, they took the video down, though, didn't they?
Well, they did after they were sued. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's important that even those who would purport to be the biggest players in the business and large corporations and anybody else involved in, you know, in taking money from talent, that they realize that they have to follow the law.
Yeah.
And they're not above it. And that's what this is about. They've violated my rights. They committed civil violations of the Lanham Act, among other federal law. I'm protecting those rights. When you know, with some of the scrutiny that has fallen upon that organization over the years, the implication of a false association threatens my brand. And when you threaten my brand, you threaten my wife, you threaten my son, and you threaten my ability to provide a living for them, and I won't stand for that. That's what this is about.
Very good. Well, gentlemen, J. Michael, great
thank
to you, see
Dan.
You. AJ, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right. One more time, where can they get a hold of you?
jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com or go to jmcvoiceover.com, check out the demos, and I just want to say, this guy.
He'll screen all my stuff.
Yeah, this guy's amazing. That's an honor to call you a friend.
You're my bestie. You're my boy, Blue. You're my boy.
Well, this was fun. All right. Well, take care. We'll see you again real soon.
Thank you, Dan.
Take care, guys.
Us. Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources, and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions, bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
And we're back. Well, it was a fascinating interview.
I mean, nice work, man.
Thank you.
Doing all that solo. That is no joke.
No, it was no joke.
If I was there, I wouldn't have let you use three cameras. So the fact that you did it all by yourself blows my mind.
Yeah, well, one of them turned out to be totally useless, so it still turned into a two-camera
interview.
You
know, it's just like if you have an extra camera, you cover yourself.
It was an old iPhone, actually.
Well, you know.
Which had it worked, it would have looked great. But as it was, it would have been nice to have them here in the studio, but J. Michael and AJ had to fly back east.
A tight schedule.
Yeah, so I'm like, we'll show up. Went out to dinner at a very interesting Beverly Hills restaurant afterwards, where they had really good tapas.
Nice.
The Andreas something or other.
Cool.
It was a great place. Anyway, we've got a few more tech questions we want to cover before we say goodnight.
Burn so
if you asked a question, here comes your answer.
All right.
First one. Hi there, guys, watching the live stream right now. Hopefully there still are. Quick question for you. I record in my room. Could you be a little more specific? I got to get rid of the sound coming from my window. I live in a rural area, and there are crickets and little bugs that make sounds all the time. That's a very thin window they have.
I think the translation is, I record in my room means I live with my folks.
Folks, yes. Right.
I record in my room. Right.
What do you recommend for blocking out high frequencies? I'm running a $100 to $200 budget since I'm barely starting out. Thank you so much.
Cool.
Well, blocking a window is to keep that sound out. Not all that tough.
Yeah, I mean, high frequencies aren't the harder ones.
It's
to
the
stop.
Low frequencies. Crickets don't go at low frequency.
Right. So if you've got cricket sounds leaking in through your windows, that probably means you have really poor weather stripping, and your windows are not really well insulated and
they're
sealed.
Probably old window single pane windows.
It could be, yeah, or they just have bad seals on them. So the first thing you do is weather strip the heck out of your windows.
Right.
Go to a hardware store saying, I need stuff to weather strip my windows. Start there so they're sealed off, sealed tightly. After that, then you start getting out the big guns, which is buying some drywall and some weather stripping and then making a plug for your window.
That fits
an entire
perfectly.
Thing that sucks and fits into that frame. Not that easy to do, but it can be done. It's not, you know, it's not expensive to do. It's a DIY thing you can do that will stop a lot of sound and make it very dark.
Yeah. Interesting, you know, the crickets are at a higher frequency. Crickets are at about a moderate frequency, they're not like high frequency.
Not dog whistle frequency.
Right, no, exactly. But fascinating that we have one of those Dyson fans in the house, which really keep things cool.
Yeah.
It's right at the frequency of the human voice. So if it's on, it's like sound cancellation.
Whoa.
You know, with people's voices. So can't hear the TV, can't hear each other talking.
So if you're trying to drown out an annoying outside neighbor or something like that,
it works great for that.
Dyson and it drowns them out.
Right. And if we want to talk to each other, it's great because it's like, what? Huh?
Sounds fantastic. Like any couple needs more problems with communication.
I'll have to demonstrate for you. You're right. Send them again. Brandon Gensimer asks, are there any really viable options for USB microphones on the market? Well, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about them for a while. We did do a USB mic shootout at WovoCon a couple years ago, which all those mics are still totally viable. If you do a search on YouTube for a USB mic shootout,
We'll probably do it again at WovoCon this year in November.
There's many viable options. It's really a matter of finding ones made by reliable, you know,
good companies that make good microphones.
Recognizable brands that are, that their primary thing is microphones.
Right.
Audio Technica 2020 USB. Decent. It's okay. They sometimes are a little bit noisy.
Right.
They have a little bit higher noise floor hiss.
Right.
Than maybe you'd like.
Right.
Had good luck with the Shure PG42 USB.
They stopped making it though.
Discontinued.
The new MK5 from Sennheiser, which
now
has
talking.
An Epigee
MK4 Digital.
The MK4 Digital, right.
That one's the real deal. Because now you have a Sennheiser MK4,
right.
Which is an amazingly good microphone to begin with.
Right.
Added with a USB jack in it.
Right.
And the AD conversion and all that, that's designed by Apogee.
Yeah.
So it's a heck of a good combination. So, you know, its only downside is that it has no headphone monitoring. And we talked about that earlier in the show. Most of the time, you don't need it. If you're trying to get a really high quality signal straight into the computer, it's about one of the best USB mics that I know of.
Right. And then the simpler one, the Apogee mic, which, and the mic 96K.
Yeah, they have the 96 play, and then they have the mic plus, which I think does have a headphone jack if
it
you
does.
Need that.
Yeah.
If you're podcasting or something.
Yeah. So but, there are some really good alternatives to USB mics that you can actually use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for podcasting, you can get away with it with a Yeti, you know, which is actually great for two-sided interviews
Yeti
and stuff like that.
Yeti has a figure eight pattern. There's also the Audio Technica ATR2100,
yes, something like that.
It looks like a standard handheld voice mic or like a vocal mic.
Right.
But it's USB and XLR.
Right.
It's dynamic, which is good for, you know, close-up use, and it's like $60. A lot of podcasters use that.
Yeah,
including the Takeout,
yes,
which is a show on CBSN. That's on television,
right?
And that's what they use,
right?
So
the quality's got to be okay.
It's pretty decent,
yeah. So we'll actually start talking a little bit more about podcasts because I think people are interested, and everybody can have one. It's the total democratization of, you know,
casting,
it's the democratization of self-indulgent behavior, I think.
Yeah, or knowledge sharing.
I have something to share with you. If you're going to do a podcast, you got to have something to say. You don't do it just because you can.
A point of view and some experience to back it up helps.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to Podcast Movement in Philadelphia this week.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's going
to
be lots. This is bigger than voiceover convention. Podcasting is like a 4-to-1 search over voiceover.
If my parents are watching, we just found out about this like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's in Philly.
Right.
And my parents, who live near Philly, are flying here tomorrow. It was like the absolute worst possible
time. I'll bring you back a steak hoagie.
Thank you, man.
No, wait, you're a vegetarian.
A vegan steak hoagie.
Vegan steak.
Seitan.
Yeah, okay.
You could probably get a good seitan steak hoagie
in
Philly
now.
There's a lot of progressive vegan stuff going on there.
It's a very progressive city.
It is.
William Penn only knew. anyway. We have lots of great stuff going on over the next couple of weeks on this show. We have next week, Chris Edgerly will be with us. He does a lot of gaming voices, some big time gaming voices. And we're going to talk about gaming, which is the biggest thing there is in Hollywood right now. August 6th on Zoom, Jamie Muffett, who has his own VO School podcast that I was on last week.
I'm seeing a theme now with podcasters.
I'm telling
voice
you.
Voice actor podcasters.
Great opportunity for voice actors in getting involved in podcasting. And what I see is...
Creating brand, right?
Well, only that. I think in the future what we're going to see is some podcasting networks that are going to curate really good content. And when you have a network of curated content, you're going to have big-time advertisers. And when you have advertisers, you need voice actors.
That's not the future. That's
now.
It's now.
But
that's
it's only going to keep growing.
Yeah.
August 13th, the one and only in-studio Bob Bergen. Bergen will be here.
Awesome.
And we're going to talk about the union and other issues. August 20th, Paul Pape, our good buddy, who's a great guy. And then August 27th, Catherine Horan, who is a casting and coaching director. So she's a casting director and a coach and all that kind of stuff. Good stuff to have. So we got lots of great stuff going on here at VoiceOver Body Shop. Who are our donors of the week?
Actually, one of them I got to see in person last week in Nashville at the TVOE meetup on Tuesday, and that was Tracy Reynolds. Very cool to meet that
Nice.
Man.
You hadn't met Tracy before?
No, I don't believe I have. And if I have, Tracy, I apologize. But no,
she's not someone you'd forget.
He was very nice. He was fantastic, yeah. And he's a radio engineer.
Right.
Really good. Andrew Kaufman, one of our regular donors of the show. We really appreciate it. Scrolling. Eric Aragoni.
Eric.
Man, thank you, Eric. I've been saying that name for a long time.
Like 5 or 6 years.
Brian Page. It's so weird how PayPal formats these emails differently sometimes. Amanda Fellows, George Whittam, which is my dad.
George Whittam Sr.
That's right. The original George Whittam. And then going down the list here, there's a few more that are kind of buried below. We've got one that came in from, where'd you go? Thomas Pinto.
Yep.
Thomas Pinto is donating to us still. Shelley Avellino. And those are the fresh ones. Tremaine Mosley. Sorry, Trey is in there too.
All right, great.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
so much appreciated.
Yeah. So again, if you need help with your home studio and you want to talk to George, you go to
georgethetech.com.
And if you want to talk to me, you go to homevoiceoverstudio.com, and we will help you out. Show logs. I think Dan Sutton is still running the show logs this week because Jack DeGolia is off running around the continent somewhere.
Oh, and thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. We really appreciate that.
Very nice.
And you can get those here on our website, and certainly when we post the YouTube video, that'll be there.
And on YouTube, they're time indexed, so if you see something interesting, you click the time,
it'll
jumps
take you right
to it.
Right there. We're here every Monday night, almost every Monday night, live. If you want to be here, email us to let us know you can be here at theguys@vobs.tv, and we'll give you the secret handshake to get into the clubhouse. Hey, and show us your booths. Now, whose booth was this tonight?
That one is Mike McCall's studio.
That's not just a booth. That's a whole studio.
It's a 12 by like 10 room. The whole room is the studio. That's kind of a dream space to aspire to, as far as I'm concerned, to have that much room. And I like it too, because the desk, which you know, can't really tell from this, the desk is in the center. It is in the center of the room. Cool. Dead center. You can walk all around it, and everything comes up through the floor.
Cool.
So it's really
that's
it
the
a
way
neat
it should
setup.
Be. Cool. Absolutely. All right. We need to thank our sponsors, like Harlan Hogan's Voice Over Essentials.
And Voice Over Extra.
Source Elements.
Viotagogo.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And J. Michael Collins Demos.
And thank him for being a guest on our show.
Oh, by the way, if you're watching this live and you want to hear the podcast version,
right,
there's a new way to get podcasts.
There is?
A new old way.
Okay.
An old new way.
Right.
Google Podcasts. You can actually take your phone and say, okay, Google, listen to Voice Over Body Shop podcast.
Hey, you can't beat that.
Bring it up. You don't have to have an app. You don't have to. We'd like you to subscribe. You don't have to. You can just go to your phone and ask it to play it for you.
Play that. I like
that.
And
it can do that.
Yeah. We also need to give a shout out back to J. Michael because for giving away a free demo that Wendy Shapiro happened to win at the Imaging House launch party on Friday.
Right on.
That was a huge gift and very, very classy.
Very cool.
Because J. Michael is a classy guy.
All right.
All right. And who else do we need to thank? Well, of course, we need to thank the Dan and Marcy Leonard Foundation
yes.
for better webcasting. Who else do we have to thank
Catherine
here?
Curran, of course, who has that big queue of guests lined up for us.
Jack Daniel for chat room duty tonight.
That's right.
And, of course, our technical director, floor director, chief bottle washer and everything else that goes on around here. Sue Merlino for doing a great job tonight. And Jack DeGolia for the show notes, along with Dan Sutton, who is working on them now, and Lee Penny simply for being Lee Penny. Well, we know this ain't an easy business, kids, but we're here every week to give you as much help as we can from the technical end, from the business side, from the performance side. Join us every Monday night here on Voice Over Body Shop, or watch us on YouTube, or listen to the podcast, or watch us on Facebook, or come and watch the show live.
Yeah.
Experience what it's all about.
Tell a friend.
That's right. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Monday night.
And remember, if it sounds good,
it is good.